Last night, I lay in bed with my hands on my chest, searching to find my heartbeat. It was a lot more difficult than I remembered. When I was a kid, I remember being so much more aware of my heartbeat. It always was something that drifted in the edges of my consciousness, from repeating the Pledge of Allegiance every day, hand over heart, to exploring my body with the fascination of a child. With my hand on my heart, I was surprised at how difficult it was to find my heartbeat. And even when I did, it felt so faint. But it was steady. I could feel it beating on the surface of my skin and in the depths of my chest. It felt reassuring to know that despite the days I lose my sights, and I wonder to myself, what is all this for? Why do I put in all of this effort? Even when my mind struggles to find meaning, my heart beats steadily, unfazed. It's not concerned with meaning. The heart beats 115,000 times a day, pumping 2,000 gallons of blood through our veins. I realized that in listening to my heart, there are forces greater than myself that keep me alive every single moment, every single day. So even when I struggle to find the meaning and the purpose of existence, my heart and my body continue to sustain me. And thankfully, without my permission. This episode is a love letter to the human body. To the body that remembers even when we don't. To the one that works faithfully even when we falter. Thank you for carrying us through thick and thin, through all the important and unimportant moments of our lives. So before we dive in, I want you to just take a moment to listen to your heart. You hear what it's trying to tell you?
And what I love about that too is that there's a negotiation. Yep. There's a conversation. Oftentimes the shame comes from, oh, I broke a rule.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with any negotiation, it's kind of a give and take, kind of like parents and kids, you know. It's like if a kid breaks a rule, you're not just like, all right, you're done. Yeah, out of the house.
Right.
Like, you can't live here anymore. But it's more so, hey, you broke a rule. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Why did that happen? And that actually goes back to one of my core desires, which is feeling understood. Because I never felt understood as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
What the psychologists say is that you're supposed to give yourself what you always sought from others.
Yep.
So I realized, holy shit, like I've never understood myself, which is why I've always looked for romantic relationships, yep, looked to other people to kind of fill that and mm-hmm. make me feel understood.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not their responsibility.
No, it's not.
You know, it's my responsibility to feel understood.
Yes. and to do your best to communicate what that looks like to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because realizing that people are very, very different and their baselines and their mental worlds are so different. What I use as a baseline is not everybody's baseline. So yeah, like you're saying, in your journey, you're learning to very clearly express your needs. Mm-hmm. I'm still, I think, in the beginning piece of that. Like, I'm getting more confident in my likes and dislikes. So that gut feeling where it's simple things. Like, I went to my therapist's office and she's like, do you want water? Or would you rather I tap on your knee or your shoulder? And before, I'd be like, I don't know. Like, whatever's easiest for you.
Yeah.
And she was just like, we need to talk about that later. Yes. I was like, why? What do I do? But now it's very much like I check in with myself first. Mm-hmm. I'm like, would I rather be touched or just looked at?
Exactly.
I'm like, of course I want to be touched. Like, I love touch.
I do too.
But I think because growing up, I was always felt awkward with touch.
Mm-hmm.
It ignored the child that was like, I need touch.
Yeah.
So that was part of my journey too, which is figuring out how much I need physical affection.
Mm-hmm.
Just listening to those and being more, I don't know, less afraid to admit the truth.
Yeah. I'll add to something that you said, which just came up for me when you were talking, is I know you have like a, if you don't mind, like you have a history of sexual abuse or something.
Mm-hmm.
So for, and I do too. For me, I went to a retreat called the Haven Retreat, which is organized by the Uni Foundation. This was like in January last year.
Mm.
And it was so profound that my life is like pre-retreat and post-retreat. It's a 4-day, I don't know if it's legal for me to talk about. It's a 4-day, I don't know, not legal, but I will talk about my experience there. So it's a 3-night, 4-day stay in Utah, where they bring female adult survivors of child sexual abuse, about 20 to 22 women in the room, in the house. It's like a mansion, and they break us into groups. And all they primarily do is they teach you what trauma does to the brain, how you respond to it, tools to take care of yourself, resources that are available for you. And then they do a before and after picture. So they have a salon in there and they teach you, they do a makeover and they take pictures of you and they give it to you to show you what you look like. And then they have a physical embodiment class too. So which is like yoga, tai chi, and muay thai. And it was through the muay thai that I learned to connect in my body after like 20 something years of living on earth. When the abuse happened to me, there's a dissociation, which is like quite normal for most people. But what happens when, as a kid, you experience that much pain, or as any person, we tend to dissociate. Animals do that. When a prey is being hunted by a predator, they go into survival mode and find ways to hide. And once the predator is gone, they shake it off and they go back to being. Human beings are not that easy. We don't just shake it off. So we embody the trauma, and sometimes we don't get back into living as our body. For me, it took that moment for me to like punch and come back into my body. I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
How have I never been in my body? And that's why I box. So now I go to boxing 4 or 5 times a week. I say this, I can't box in the past. I can't box in the future. I have to box in the present. And boxing,
I like
boxing
that.
Boxing is not something like yoga. You can be in yoga and like go, you can breathe and go wander off somewhere. Or I love yoga. So I take time, like every 3 months I go boxing and then I do yoga or something. Every time I punch, there's a message from my body. I'm here. Like I'm physically being on top of that challenge, mentally moving, pushing myself to do better, seeing how capable I am, how strong I am. That feels really great. My embodiment, like being able to live in my body, was a huge thing for me because I didn't do that. And with that came the change in my understanding of affection. Because before then, affection meant if someone touches you, it has to end up in something intimate. There is no, oh, you're really pretty, male to female, whatever it is. Because the moment someone touches me, my initial response is, oh God, do we have to go there? That's the mentality that I lived in. So when I began to live in my body, I began to understand how important it is for me to hug someone, to be able to cuddle with someone, to be able to like lay my hand on someone when we're talking, or be able to just like put my head on someone without thinking that it has to go somewhere, or even expressing physical touch with my mom, like, which is not something that we really did.
Mm-hmm.
Like we hugged and it was like a sideways hug and I'm like, okay, that's it. 2 seconds, we're fine.
Yeah.
But now I can actually have a conversation with her and sit next to her and hold her hand. And it felt so different because I didn't know what affection meant. I didn't know that this is what it felt like to be loved or be touched by someone or genuinely someone just wanting your company. Yeah. So I had to do the work between separating affection and love or lust or sexual touch or sexual intimacy and care, and just knowing that sometimes people just want to touch you because they want to touch you.
Right,
it doesn't have to lead anywhere.
It doesn't have to be sexual.
It doesn't have to be sexual. It doesn't have to be. And I think a lot of us experience, I know for a fact that I experience shame with it, because I'm like, if someone touches me, I feel like, okay, now I can't say no if it's leading to something.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't ask for a touch without seeming weak or seeming like, why do you want to touch me? Why are you being clingy? There's a lot of shame that comes with that.
Mm.
And simply recognizing that I like being touched. I like holding. I like cuddling. I like walking out and like putting my arms through a friend or a lover or family. I enjoy that. It makes me, again, it makes me feel seen. It makes me feel heard. So I can ask for that and be like, hey, do you mind if we go out to eat? Can I sit next to you instead of sitting across to you?
Mm.
Maybe we have to crank our necks to talk. It's okay. We can switch places. But I'm not afraid to ask for that because I know that this is what works for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, making that distinction between like affection and touch and was huge for me. And it only happened after I began to live in my body. I can express that to people now and be like, hey, I'm feeling very lonely right now. Can I come over to yours? Or can you come over to mine? Without straight thinking that, oh, we're going to have sex or we have to, something sexual has to happen. It doesn't work like that anymore. It's like, oh, I just want touch for the sake of touch. Or I can use words, so I can give it without expecting anything back or expecting it to lead somewhere. That's like one of the biggest core wounds that I had to heal to. My redefinition of what affection means to me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going back to the child. Children, they don't think about that stuff. They just seek what they want and what they need.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I kind of want to explore, and I've literally just thought of this while you're talking, because something else that I associate with, you know, sexuality is naked bodies. So what does it look like to embrace my nakedness, other people's nakedness, and not feel like, oh, this is sexual, right? I think there's such freedom in being able to express yourself physically like that. I don't know what that looks like. I thought I would throw it out there.
I did the practice when the first time, like, I lived in my body. I remember coming home one day and I have a mirror in like my living room, and I was passing by the mirror and I noticed that usually when I'm naked in my apartment or something and I'm passing by the mirror, I walk very fast. I don't stop to look at it. It wasn't even a conscious choice. It wasn't like, oh, mirror, 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 run. Okay, slow down. No, it was just like, I never really like looked at it.
Right.
So I think when this started to happen, I came back. I was walking past my mirror and I stopped and I was like, this is interesting. I've never really watched myself. I've never looked at myself before. It was this thing of like standing next to the mirror and then like, first looking at my face, I'm like, I don't want to see, like, I have this fold. There's always a part of the body that we don't like. For me, it was like my lower abdomen. I'm like, I have this pouch and, you know, I don't want to see this. And I don't see everything people are talking about. This could be maybe my brain, but I had this memory of like when the abuse first happened with my perp, how it moved me from being a child to an adult. I never really looked at my child body. I never looked at myself like, you're just a person without any sexual connotations. Your body parts don't have to do with sex. You're just a human being. You have breasts, you have a butt, you have these, you have eyes. Just like you have eyes, you have nose. I had that conversation with myself a few times. And then one day I was just like, okay, we're doing this. And I stood in front of my mirror without wearing clothes and the light on. First I had the light off. I was like, I don't know. And then I turned the light on. And it's like when you're with someone, right? Like when you're in a relationship with someone and you see them naked for the first time. Like you're just walking around, like it's not, you're in bed or they get up to like use the restroom and you're sitting and you just watch them. And you're like, oh, this person's body looks this way. Or you go to the pool and you see someone's body you admire. Like, and it's not from like, oh my God, they're ripped. Like, why are they looking like that? It's like, this person genuinely has a very nice body and you just look at them. That's what it felt like. For the first time, I was like, oh, this is my body. I've lived in this my entire life. This is what it looks like. This is what my fingers look like. And then I got close to the mirror. I was like, this is what my eyes look like. So then I'm standing there and then I'm naming the parts of my face that I've never really named. Literally, I have this in my journal where I was just like, okay, these are my eyes. Oh, my eyes are not as black as I thought they are. There's like a brown tinge to them. Why is my nose shaped? My nose is shaped this way. Okay, I realized that this seems smaller than it. I have like this mark on my nose. oh, my lips seem very full. Oh, look at the way my teeth are shaped. Ah, people say I have nice teeth, but I've never really looked at my teeth that way. And going all the way down. And I'm like, huh. So I said to my buddy, I was like, well, thank you for bearing with me up until this time for me to recognize that you've been with me since the moment I came into this world. And you'll be with me until I leave this body. Yeah. So now I think I really want to be friends with you. And that's one of the reasons why I stopped drinking hard liquor as well. Because my buddy's like, hey, I don't like the way this feels. I'm like, okay, all right, we're going to stop it. Mm. We're going to reintroduce it. If we like it, yes. If we don't like it, we don't like it. But it's literally having that mirror and being like, okay, this is my body. It felt like I was in like kindergarten or something where like ears.
You're like eyes, poking at
nose,
it.
Yes, I am. What? I'm like, my skin is very elastic. When I smile, I have these lines. When I'm upset, I have these. Mm. My brows are furrowed when they look like this. This is how my eyebrows grow. I'm missing an eyelash here. It became like a very fun thing. Mm. And since then, it's been this thing where if my body doesn't feel a certain way, or like I feel like I don't look a certain way, I check in. I'm like, is it that you're feeling something inside that is showing on the outside? Mm. Or is something genuinely wrong where you need to go checked out? Mm. And it's a difference. I feel like my emotional body feeds my physical body. Mm. So like when something comes up and I need to deal with it, like a very emotional thing, my tummy, I get bloated. It's very interesting.
Interesting,
like,
yeah.
I need to release the emotion and I'm like, oh, okay. I will check. Am I eating something wrong? Have I eaten milk? Like, I'm lactose intolerant. Have I had milk? Have I had something with dairy in it? No, I haven't in the past 24, 48 hours. Okay, well, what's going on? Am I feeling an emotion? And once I sit and I deal with it, it's crazy. This could be my brain. I don't know if there's science to prove this. It usually physically tells in my body. I'm like, oh, we processed that. Okay, let's move on.
Wow. You know, and I wonder if everybody has something like that, but people just don't notice it.
Yeah. I didn't notice it because I was like, you remember the pouch that I was talking about? I was like, I feel like I have this thing. Come to find out, that's what happens when I'm like emotionally triggered or something I need to work on. I feel it in my abdomen.
Interesting.
That's
why
I feel it. I'm like, this feels really, really weird.
Yeah.
And then once I sit with it, I process, it could be a day, a week, a month, whatever it takes. I know when I release it, it's like, oh, okay, I'm feeling my abs again.
Yeah. No, that's
and sometimes when I don't do anything about it, I'm okay. I'm like, okay, it is what it is. I'm happy with my body the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm happy with how strong it's feeling. I'm so connected to it now that I can tell. Like, I'm like, oh, this is what we need. This is what we need. There are moments of confusion, don't get me wrong, where I'm like, what's happening? I feel blah. Last weekend on Sunday, I woke up in the morning and I just couldn't get out of bed. I had commitments, I had things to do. And every time I would get up, my body was just like, no, we're not doing this. Like, you really need to sleep. You really need to rest. And I would sleep for a while and then wake up and still try to get up and like go do stuff. And it just wasn't. So eventually I was just like, all right, what do you want? So I had some tea. I journaled. I did a meditation. This sounds gross. There was a bunch of belching. And then my body just went back to being normal. I was perfectly fine. I was like, oh. That was interesting. And I hadn't eaten anything. I hadn't drank anything. I hadn't eaten anything weird. I journaled for like 2 hours. And then by the time I finished putting my thoughts down, my physical body was just like, okay, what are we going to eat?
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Because for me, I think it's always higher up, like chest tightness and back. I don't know. When my therapist asked me, you know, where is it in your body? I was like, doesn't everybody feel it in the same place? Like, I don't know why I just thought that, but it's cool hearing you because you're probably one of the first people I've talked to that talks about it in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So yours, I guess, is very different place. Because what I used to do when I was a kid is when I got really angry or frustrated, I would hold my breath. And I would hold my breath until I passed out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was when I was very, very young.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the words. Right. So I just would hold my breath.
Yeah.
And as I got older, it turned into like hiding under the covers where I still couldn't breathe because I was like underneath, but I could breathe, but it was very difficult.
Right.
And then now that I'm older, it still captures the same feeling. I've noticed that I stopped breathing a little bit and I'm like, okay,
breathe,
take a deep breath. Like,
yes.
That's one of my indicators.
Yeah.
But it's always a journey.
Mine is my, it's my abdomen and my jaw. I clench my jaw very tightly. My jaw is probably the first thing. And then my tummy, just like my abdomen, just like does this weird thing, like contracting.
Interesting.
Kind of. But yeah, that's where I usually feel it. And like, oh, okay, something's about to happen.
Yeah.
Are we doing this?
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Overthinker, the podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, leave a review on whatever platform you listen on. despite these stressful times, I hope that we can rest in some gratitude and thank our bodies for carrying us through. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.